Jessica, thank you. Where is she? Thank you so much. My goodness. Don't we say thank you, Jessica? All right. Well, as Elise said, we're going to try a theme this year about finding wisdom. And I'm just going to kick that off, and we'll have testimonies as we each month as well. And isn't it such a sweet opportunity to really get to know someone? Because, as Jessica said, she came to my wedding. Deb and I met Luke and Connie. You know, we knew them before we got together. And Jessica was just brand new. I was married on the 31st. We were married on the 31st of December. What's your birthday?
21st.
Okay, so 10 days old. And it was snowy, and we had very little wedding, very informal little wedding. But Connie was holding Jessica, just swaddled in a lot of blankets because it's winter. And someone said, "Oh, let me see the baby." And so she opens it up, and there are Jessica's feet. It's like, whoops. As she pointed out. And we're all in different stages of growth, right? We're different ages. We've been Christians different lengths of time. I was converted right before my 21st birthday. I remember thinking, "Lord, why did you wait so long?" And now, looking back, I'm so grateful he didn't wait until I was 50 or 60. You know, I'm so grateful for the years he's given me. But all of us may have some things that are stunting our growth. We want to keep growing in wisdom, growing spiritually, and there may be things that are stunting our growth, things in the way. So let's pray as we meet at Thrive, just that God will really use these times to be effective as you think about it, as you prepare to come next month, you know, just to be praying that this will be a time of really growing. We're dealing with stuff. We're doing business, and we're better for it. Like, we see progress. And when we're all doing it together, it's so rich. And it knits us together as well as knitting us into Christ. So I know it's not easy to get here. There's so many behind-the-scenes things. I was thinking of you all this morning and how many of you were dealing with getting children off to school or getting babies handed off or whatever. So let's just make it really worth the effort to get here and just pray that God will really bless this time around the tables and with the speakers and everything. All right, let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you that you are a light to our path and that you want us to grow in wisdom. And I pray you would use this now as we look at your word to just encourage us to get on with it. And we thank you so much, and we commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have a lot of Bible verses, and I don't expect you to write down all the references, and I'm not going to be too tedious in telling you every reference, but if you need them, I will give them to you, okay, later. But there's so much in the Word about wisdom. It's really a fun topic to study. But I guarantee if you go to a concordance, you'll be overwhelmed with way too many resources, and you have to just figure out which way you're going to go with it. And God is always faithful, and I love that process of working through and figuring out what I'm going to say and where to go, and God just shows me something. It's like, that's it. So that's what he did with this little talk today, is he showed me something. I learned something new. But first, let me just read a few Proverbs. Wisdom principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Okay, wisdom is the principal thing, ladies. Get it. In all you're getting, we're all trying to get stuff, get understanding. In Proverbs 19, it says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Okay? Loves his own soul. So it's good to love your soul. And you want to see how your soul is doing. And you want your soul to be getting fat and strong. And so how's your soul? And that goes back to what I said about what things are hindering us. And let's get wisdom. So love your own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. And don't we want to find good? Don't we want to end up in a good place? Yes. Proverbs 3, happy is the man who finds wisdom. And we all want to be happy, don't we? We want to be content. We want to lay hold of wisdom. Happy is the man, or blessed is the man who finds wisdom. So my question is, so where do we find it? So where do we find wisdom anyway? And I thought, well, of course we find it in God. But that is not specific enough, is it? We need more. We need more. So what's the Bible say? So I lived in Job. And Job actually asks this question. He says, where shall wisdom be found? There it is. Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Remember, I just read about get wisdom, get understanding, find wisdom, gain understanding. These things go together. And Job says, where is wisdom found? Where is the place of understanding? This is in Job 28. And then it's just this wonderful passage. I'll just encourage you to read through it when you have time. I'm going to read through it now, but so you can see it on the page. It's always better. Okay, listen to the answer. He's just asked, where is wisdom? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me, and the sea says, it's not with me. It's nowhere on earth. It's not in the land of the living. And man doesn't understand the value of wisdom. We're going to hear more about that in a minute. So there's nowhere on earth we can travel a spot to get wisdom. There isn't. It doesn't exist, according to Job. And now he's going to talk a little bit about this value that it has. Okay? It can't be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia can't equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. All right, it's not on earth, and there's nothing we have on earth of great enough value to buy it. You know, Job is thinking of all the things, like gold, silver, jewelry. We're not even going to talk about coral or quartz because it's more valuable than rubies. There's nothing. So I was thinking, if you could buy the ocean, how much would it cost? No price. It's like wisdom is beyond that. So we can't even comprehend it. We have nothing on earth that is as valuable as wisdom that we gather it all up to buy it. It's not for sale. So then the question is repeated. Job says again, verse 20, he says, so where then does wisdom come, and where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard a report about it with our ears. We've heard about it, but we don't know where it is. And it's hidden from all the eyes. So we're stuck. If we want to find wisdom, it's impossible. Pretty much, isn't that what he's saying? It's impossible. But then in verse 23, we start to find the answer. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it, indeed. He searched it out. So now God is going to speak to man here in Job, verse 28. And to man he says, this is God speaking, here's your answer. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. All right. So we have a twofold answer from God himself. You say, where's wisdom? He says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Depart from evil is understanding. And I thought, well, these are two things we can remember, right? Fear the Lord, depart from evil. That is wisdom. And you know the verse, probably. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We have it again. That's in Proverbs 9. They're all tied up together. And depart from evil. That is understanding. So if you got that, fear God, depart from evil. And you know, once you see that, I had never really seen that together. I started seeing it everywhere. But I won't go and show you all the places I saw it. But notice this in Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all those who do his commandments. Who do his commandments. So depart from evil means obey God. Do his commandments. You want to be wise? Fear God. Do what he says. How about that? Deuteronomy 4, 5, and 6, Moses is speaking to the people, and he says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So he says, I taught you everything the Lord said to do. Obey him. And everyone's going to say, wow, those people, where'd they get the wisdom and the understanding? That group. And I thought, that's the reputation we want as Christian women in this community, isn't it? Like the women and the men and the children. But we're just talking to women today, right? So the women, they're so wise. Where do they get this wisdom and understanding? They're not foolish. So basically, the more distance we put between ourselves and sin, the more we grow in wisdom. Fear God and do what he says. You will grow in wisdom. So the more you obey God, just the wiser you will get. You don't have to take wise pills or enroll in a class, maybe Bible class. We can all do that. And I just underscore it and say amen to what Jessica said. In the Word, ladies, women of the Word, ladies, every day, it's our life. All right, so we obey the Lord. Absolutely, whatever he says. I told someone once who was not taking God's Word very seriously. I said, you know, if God's Word said I had to wear pigtails, I would wear pigtails. You know, if God's word says it, then that's it. I mean, wasn't there an old song about that? God said it, that settles it, or something. Anyway, and she was horrified and told me she would not. So it tells you that my point was just not that he said that, but that our demeanor is to obey and not to argue and question or get off the point. Proverbs 21, I love this verse. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. There is nothing. If it's against the Lord, it is not wise, it is not understanding, it is not counsel. It is not. It's very clear. Here's wisdom with God. Everything that is not, is it, anything that is against the Lord is not wisdom. Okay, but what do we have to do? Well, we are practical people. We like to have things to do, right? And to realize that even though this is something God gives us, we have to do the fearing and we have to do the obeying, correct? We don't just sit like lumps and say, fill me with your wisdom. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 7. All right, this gives us a lot of things to do, so I'll just highlight a few of them. My son, if you receive my words, okay, receive my words. Take them, outstretched hands, receive it. And treasure my commands within you, prize them. So so that you incline your ear, you concentrate, you're listening to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. You're doing it. You're applying the word, not just hearing it, but doing it. And you cry out for discernment. You're begging God for this. Give me understanding. And lift up your voice for understanding. It means asking and praying, reading. If you seek her as silver, okay, like a treasure hunt, and search for her as for hidden treasures, you know, like a prize, like panning for gold, you know, and you know it's there. Then you will understand. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Okay, just notice this. He stores up sound wisdom, and his pantry is full of wisdom. For whom? Who walk uprightly, who do what he says, who obey his command. There's plenty of wisdom for us if we walk uprightly, if we obey him. All right? And if we love him, we obey his commands. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. All right. I found a few more clues to this process. How many of you know a Bible verse that says, do not be wise? Do not be wise. Do you remember the last part? In your own eyes. Okay. This is good. This is really good. We tend that week to be wise in our own eyes. But do not be wise in your own eyes. This is Proverbs 3:7. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's that twofold theme again. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And this implies that if you're not fearing the Lord and you're not departing from evil, you're not wise. And you're wise in your own eyes. How often do we have a good excuse when we think we have a good interpretation and we're doing the right thing? We're wise in our own eyes. No. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. One of the things that seems to be accompanying fear of God and living uprightly is humility of mind. And indeed, to fear the Lord, we have to be humble people, right? And trust him, and not be full of ourselves. To obey him, we have to be humble people as well, to follow him and do what he says, childlike faith and obedience. Do not set your mind on high things. This is Romans 12, so we're in the New Testament here. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. There it is again. You see, don't try to be high and mighty. Hang out with the humble people, and don't be wise in your own opinion. King James says, in your own conceit. So, thinking too highly of yourself is going to keep you from finding wisdom. And then in Proverbs 11 again, when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but humility comes with wisdom. So we have to, in this looking for wisdom, have humble hearts. We have to imitate our Savior and have humility of mind. Pride breeds nothing but strife, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. This is Proverbs 13:10. That one sign of humility is asking for advice. But from whom? Well, from the wise, right? I think women tend to be too eager sometimes to ask for advice in the wrong places. Where do we see it all the time?
Facebook.
Who said that?
Facebook.
Facebook? Yeah, Facebook. And when you ask advice of a whole crowd, you're not always going to get wise people responding, are you? And I think sometimes the wise people do not even want to put up the comment, even if they've got a good answer. It's like, I'm not joining in that crowd. It's not a good idea. If you get a private message, maybe that's a wise person who didn't want to answer you on Facebook. And if this is really true. I think women are very impulsive sometimes. It's just, I have a question. I know. I'm not going to think about what the scripture might have to say about this. I'm just going to fire it. You can do it in, what, 5 seconds? There it is. And then you just get a flood of stuff. So, even though found in those who take advice. Be wise about who you're asking, whom you're asking for advice. Be careful. Ask God first. Does his word address this? It might. Ask for wisdom. Say, Lord, I want to fear you and do what's right, depart from evil. I don't want to just find someone who'll say something I like. Well, she gave me advice. It's great advice. It may not be. So beware. Beware asking advice of someone who will tell you what you want to hear. It's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. So that's just one example. But we do want to be, even though I'm saying don't ask advice unwisely, we do want to be teachable women and open, right, to advice and input, right? I would say ask your husband. If you're not married, ask your pastor. Ask a trusted, wise friend. That you know, start there before you send it out to the universe. Pray for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. I bet you have examples of this, but even as a brand new Christian, I remember God being so faithful to give me wisdom. I'll give you one that's kind of a silly example, but it was really helpful to me as a new Christian. So I've been a Christian about a year, and I graduated from college, and my old college friends were in town. I was living here by myself, working for CCM, and a little Christian bookstore on Main Street. And one of my old friends called and said, hey, Nancy, we're in town and we're going to meet at the corner club for a drink. You want to meet us and, you know, catch up on old times. And I said, well, I'll think about it and let you know. Okay, that's wisdom. God gave you wisdom right there. Instead of going, you know. So I prayed about it. Thought, you know, there was a time in my life, it'd be no problem to go meet. I had still never been in the corner club, but it was here in 1970 when I got here. I've never been in there. But there was a time where I probably would have not minded going in to meet the girls for a drink. I just prayed about it. Like, Lord, do you want me to do this or not? I want to do what you want me to do. So do you want me to go? Maybe I can share my faith with them. Maybe this is an evangelistic opportunity. Like they're all going to get on their knees right there in the corner club. And then the Lord showed me. And I think I didn't hear a voice, but, you know, he just gives you a thought. Was, Nancy, if I want you to witness to them, I will get them on your turf. You do not have to go to their turf, which will be the corner club where they're drinking, and they're not going to be interested anyway. And it's all going to be surfacey, weird chit-chat. So don't worry about it. And so I said, no, thanks. And it's like, oh, thank you. That was great. I had opportunities with some of them later. And I'm not saying you can't witness in a bar. Doug used to hand out tracts to the bar traffic back in the day, but he didn't go in them. But somebody passed the word around that he was hitting the bars every Friday night. He was, but not like that. But you see, my point is just I'm a little new Christian and not really grounded very well yet. And I wasn't sure that was a good idea. And God just gave me wisdom and freedom to say no. So I just think that this maybe a silly little example, but I think as we go through our day and things come up, it's just like, Lord, give me wisdom. What do you want me to do with this? How should I answer? And you can always say, I'll think about it, and I'll get back to you, depending on what it is. The thing is, we want a humble attitude as we look for wisdom. We want a teachable heart. And as you go through the weeks and days ahead, to be thinking of those two things. Fear God and depart from evil. And let that work into all the corners, into your thought life. Depart from evil. Fear God. Revere him. Honor him. Serve him. Listen to him. And depart from evil. It's so simple, really. And so often when you're making a decision, you can talk yourself into something that isn't quite right, and you know it isn't quite right, and later you regret it. And so from the front end, have those two things in mind, and then we just trust that God will grow us in wisdom
as we walk by faith with him.
And he's faithful and will do it. So, amen.